All right, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2CTT, and this is the Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Services Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835 megahertz, the 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. The repeater is located in Pearl River, New York, and runs a PL of 151.4 if we have the PL on, which we do not at this time. Further, the offset is minus 600 kilohertz. This net is a weekly net for the purposes of making sure that people have information related to the Amateur Radio Emergency Service and also to general preparedness, training opportunities, operational opportunities, etc., where they can help out with served agencies. ARIES in itself in Bergen County is not a served agency. It is a focal point for providing opportunities and manpower and skills in a matched configuration to each other. You're encouraged to participate on your own terms as to what your interests and capabilities are. And we hope that you will. So, with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. We check in with our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether or not we hold an appointment, an ARIES or ARRL station appointment. Further, we also indicate what town we're in. Finally, we'll do this in order of appointment and then by call sign group. Any stations with an ARRL appointment, please call W2TTT.
W2TTT. Alpha Lima Zero Yankee, Ali from Wayne, New Jersey. This is the emergency coordinator for Passaic County. No traffic.
Good evening, Ali. Thank you very much. Any other stations with appointments? Okay, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call W2TTT. Okay, let's look for those lovely kilos.
W2TTT. This is KD2BKD, Bob, in Park Ridge, New Jersey.
Kilo 2 Lima Alpha X-ray, John in Oakland, New Jersey.
W2TTT. KB2SSE, Ken Slingwood.
Net control. This is Kilo Delta 2, Kilo Lima November, KD2KLN, Brian in Belleville, New Jersey, Essex County ARIES. And the Big Apple NTS traffic net.
Well, that was pretty much a gold mine, though, wasn't it now? All right, I have KD2BKD, K2LAX, K2LAX, KB2SSC, welcome, Ken. And KD2KLN, Brian, welcome to you as well. All right, any other kilos? Okay, let's go to the Novembers. All right, and finally, are there any whiskeys?
India Sierra Echo, Bob in Florida, and no traffic.
Gotcha, Bob. Anybody else with a whiskey?
W2TTC, this is W2NZ.
Go ahead, Tom.
Location is Paramus. I'm on an HD, and let me see, can I add anything to the gold mine of the Banster? I do have a technical question, if I may, when we run through the roll call. So, back to you, sir. This is the new message.
Roger, Tom. Okay, if it's related to emergency preparedness or station readiness, I'll see you. why we couldn't handle that at some point. We'll hold that for a second. Any other stations wishing to check in at any call sign format? Okay, one more time. Okay, I think I'm doubling with somebody who's just not quite making it because I'm hearing them break this. I'm breaking the Scotch for them. I'm hearing little bits. Station again.
W2TK, Frank, Mauville OEM.
Good evening, Frank. Okay. Welcome aboard. I got you now. Anybody else? Okay, station, this net recognizes AL0Y, KD2BKD, K2LAX, KB2SSE, KD2KLN, WA2ISC, W2NZ, W2TKE. One more request for check-ins, anybody? Okay, I have a couple quick announcements, and then we'll take the question from Tom, I guess it was. In the next 2 weeks, we'll have the quarterly communications exercise with Army Mars. This is where they request status county by county. I am endeavoring to receive status from N2AVD, our county radio officer, who's affiliated with the OEM, to get county-level reporting. Next week, we will be looking for anybody's reports from the municipalities regarding any kind of, shall we say, degradation in the infrastructure. So if there's any infrastructure issues that you're aware of in your community, they could be anything from blocked roads, closed railroad crossings, bridges, water, power, or other utility issues, municipal facilities that might be either impaired or down. Be prepared to report those next week. We will collect them, even if it's on an ad hoc basis, and we'll pass them up through COMEX exercise to Army Mars. Then we'll go through our section emergency coordinator, just for your reference. We'll be doing that forwarding. In the meantime, are there any questions about the COMEX?
NK2BS, repeat.
Anybody copy, over?
Station, say anybody copy, over, go ahead.
Does anybody copy, over?
Station asking who's copying. Yes, we copy, go ahead.
Roger that. KD2JGC, Edward in North Vale. I guess I had the wrong PL, so I wasn't transmitting before. Back to you, W2TCC.
Okay, KD2JDC, was it?
Roger that. Kilo Delta 2, Juliet Delta Charlie.
Okay, your name again, real quick. Okay, and your name, sir?
My name is Edward. I'm in North Vale.
Well, Edward, welcome aboard. Okay, very good. We got you this time. Very good. Welcome to the net. Any other stations wishing to check in at this time? Okay, I did hear a squelch breaking, but it's just breaking. I don't know what's going on there. Alrighty, so just for everybody's benefit, if no one has any questions regarding the COMEX, we're just looking for a municipal status, and you can report whatever you like. We'll take it as tactical traffic, but I will note on my communication summary what it is, and I'll summarize that and pass it on as a single radiogram or some similar traffic to our section emergency coordinator for passage to RB Mars, along with whatever we received directly from the county. All right, next topic is the email I sent out today, if you got it, with some information about registering for the for ARIES online. Please review that, and if you have any questions, you can email me at w2ttt@awrl.net. Be happy to help you with that process. And if you haven't filled out an FSD 98, then please find one. AWRL FSD 98, just Google it. You'll find an online form, and you can fill it out and email it to me. Again, at whiskey2tango@awrl.net. All righty. Let's handle the question, and then we'll just do a quick run through if anybody has anything they'd like to report. So W2NZ, your question from W2TTT.
Thank you, Net Control. This is W2NZ. My question comes from the change that Director Nashmi has made us aware regarding the MAWA repeater on 146.790, that there will be an additional need for a receive tone of 141.3 and a transmit tone of what is currently in place, 162.2, if I remember correctly. I may have that reversed, but nonetheless, what happens if your radio is incapable of being programmed for that second request, which is the 141.3 PL? Back to you.
In a word, absolutely nothing. You'll just hear all the traffic on the frequency. I don't know why he was suggesting that you should have received PL, because both BCFMA repeaters, both Paramus and MAWA, both operate at 146.79. They both transmit 141.3 PL. The 141.3.PL is, if you transmit it, will open up the Paramus repeater. And if you transmit a 162.2 PL, it will open up the MAWA repeater. So, I don't know why they were stipulating you had to receive, you had to decode on receive. Unless they're planning on running data across it or something without PL, which I would doubt. I don't know what the reason for that would be.
This is W2NZ. Thank you, Gordon. That certainly is much clearer. I have no idea as to what the reasoning is. I just know that I was trying to figure that out on my handies on some of my mobiles and base units. That facility is there. So, I hate to throw out quote unquote $300 radio that I may be putting in a day pack that I was going to use. So, back to you, sir. This is W2N.
Okay, very good. Very good. I don't know if most people are aware, but there are 279 repeaters operating in this area. One is the community repeater in Paramus with the 141 PL. 41.3, and then of course the broader area repeater, but maybe not HD coverage down in the center of the county, but certainly broader coverage is in MAWA 140, probably 162.2 is the PL. 162.2 is the PL for that, so that's pretty wonderful. Alrighty, let's go through the roll call at this point. AL0Y, any comment? Okay. KD2BKD, Bob, any comments?
Yeah, this is KD2BKD. Yeah, just wondering how you're doing trying to find a DMR solution to have a DMR ARIES-NET on.
At this time, I have no specific solution. We were going to consider using the NJ2PC machine when it comes up, but we're looking for a network repeater, obviously. There is a premise repeater that would be pretty good. It's not the one that's owned by the BCFMA, and I'm going to pursue that as well. As it's in the Senator County, it's not so bad. I think it might work just fine. But we'll see. And we'll certainly go from there. But it'll likely be on 440 just for reference.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Any more, Bob?
No, that's it. KD2BKD back to net.
Thank you, KQLAX. Your turn.
Yeah, no comments, no traffic. Thanks, Gordon.
Thank you, John. KB2SSC.
Yeah, Gordon. Regarding DMR, if and when we get the power fixed, I am working on having a DMR repeater up there on top of Skyline Drive.
That would be excellent. Let's coordinate that a little bit because, as you know, NJ2PC is going to be DMR, so maybe we can put some common talk groups between the two that have some priority. So when they get used, they link the two together and on a priority basis, at least on one time slot, if not both. We can talk about that. All right, very good. That's more of a Passaic County problem, but I got my fingers in that a little bit too. All right, KD2KLN, Brian.
This is KD2KLN, no comments.
WHYSC.
W2TTT. You were asking for stations with appointments. I was wondering if you're going to be asking for stations that have this appointment. Anyway, no comments.
Thank you, Bob. W2NZ.
Hi. And LOL, going in there for the more modern generation. No, I have no comments. It's been very enjoyable and insightful, as in perceived, as opposed to insightful as to right. So, back to WTMZ.
Okay, by the way, if you haven't been getting an email from me, anybody, via one mechanism or another, please let me know and by sending me an email at my AOL address, because I'm going to send out a first pass frequency list for Bergen County operators for FM, both on 2 meters and 440, and then we'll talk about DMR next, just FYI. Okay, W2TKE.
Yeah, this is W2TKE. I guess I have a dumb question. I was just looking at your email now regarding the ARIES and the information regarding signing up or whatever, but this is only if you're signing up as a group, right? So if you're just an individual ham or whatever, do they still want you to register somehow? Or apologies, I haven't read through all this yet. I figured you're the expert, you're here. So I'll pass it back to you.
Well, that was kind of, we're trying to bait that question. It's premature to have what are called municipal or even multi-town organizations yet, but we started talking about this in the last couple of weeks, that we're looking for having emergency coordinators, if not on a municipal basis, on, let's say, chunks of municipalities and or for functions that need to be done within the area's organization. So besides station appointments, I'm really looking for ECs to be in charge of turf, technology, or function. That kind of begets that. You're right, at this point we're not looking to have those registered, but it's designed to spur that conversation. Turf technology or function are the key phrases, and there will come a point where we're going to want to register groups below Bergen County, I would hope, anyway. Especially if your Racy's operators also want to be Aries operators and, you know, operate when Racy's is not operational. So that answers your question, Frank?
Yeah, and you actually started answering my follow-up question with regards to the bleed over into Racy's. I shouldn't say bleed over, but, I mean, obviously you've been on those nets, right? So we have the Racy's nets, or at least the Bergen County Racy's nets. So I guess at some point, maybe some additional, when we have, I guess, more of a following, there could be some more, you know, clarifications of, I guess, roles, responsibilities, or differences between one and the other, and what one does, what one doesn't, and this way there's no, you know, there's no confusion amongst the two.
Well, we're running short of time, but basically it comes down to this. Racy's as Racy's is only activated when the governor says so or the president says so. You may have municipal operators who support the town, but if there's no state declaration, you're not operating as Racy's. You're operating essentially as a group of hams in support of the OEM. And as I said at the top of the net, Aries in Bergen County is not a command, or if you will, a served agency. It is an agency that provides, or it's a function that basically coordinates the availability of ways to serve with people who have the interest and skills to serve. So your municipality, if you have a group of ham radio operators in your Racy's organization, they can also essentially be Aries operators, at least on a roster basis. And, you know, their function is to serve the municipal OEM functions of your municipality or set of municipalities, however you want to organize it. Even when Racy's is not active. You may be using the same facilities, you may be using all the same stuff, and the same gang of folks, but you're technically operating under a different authority. And again, Aries is not in charge of anything.
All right, Roger. I know this is good conversation, right? Who activates? I guess let's just play. You know, let's just play scenarios. Who activates Aries, or how does Aries get activated?
In this county, it is not really activated as an operational unit. I mean, we can also go out as a group of hams and do stuff. But we have plenty of served agencies. We have municipal Racy's operators who, in the absence of a Racy's activation, may wish to do something in the context of their served agency, which is their municipality. It might be the Red Cross. It might be the Salvation Army. It could be Skywarn. All of those are served agencies, and they do the activations. We just basically provide a pool of operators and functions that are aligned with the interests of the members of that pool into whatever function that they see fit to serve.
NJ2BS, repeat.
All right, good stuff, Gordon. Thank you very much for the clarification. This is W2TKE, back to net.
Think of it as a union hiring hall, A, without dues, and B, without political BS.
Roger that.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody they got to go do anything. Not in Bergen County. Not happening. There's plenty of... We have 70 municipalities, a county government. We even have a county government that runs a municipal court, for God's sakes. So, you know, what the hell do I need to be in charge for? So, yeah, but anyway, we have plenty of third agencies around here. We might even have a town health department that might be more interested in having ham radio than their OEM does. I'm not going to tell them now. There's a town of Hawthorne in Stagg County that has a radio operation that's not Racy's that supports the fire department. It's all hams. So, you know, again, I'm not going to tell you how to organize yourself or who you want to serve. What I'm going to say is that there's opportunities and there's skills and there's training available, and we'll talk more about that shortly. Alrighty, it's getting on to our tech net time, so I'm going to just take a breath here, and but I'm going to close the net at this time, and we'll open up the other one in 1 minute. Actually, give me 2 minutes just to catch my breath. This has been the Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Services Net. We'll return this repeater to normal amateur radio use at least for a minute or two. Thank you, gentlemen, for your participation. This is W2TTT. We'll start the tech net in about a minute.
KD2MOB.
KD2MOB, what can I do for you, David?
Good evening. Just checking how clearly I am coming through. Just to let you know, Gordon, WTTT, I was listening in the last 15, 20 minutes or so of the Aries net.
Correct. Okay. Super. Thanks, David. I'm going to mark you in as in from Fairlawn, and we'll go from there. Thank you very much. Okay, this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, that's a right answer. Good evening, everyone. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. It's connected weekly on a frequency of 146.835 MHz, the 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. Located at Pearl River, New York, it uses a PL of 151.4, and an offset of 600 kHz down. You are welcome to participate in this net, no matter whether you're a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association or not, and we hope that you will. The purpose of this net is to have a discussion about amateur radio, about electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural arts and sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby, and of course, it also provides us an opportunity to discuss our experiences, our past experiences, our future experiences, things we, of course, have done before that we never want to do again, and finally, it was things we aspire to do. It's also an opportunity to, as I said, post for sale swap or wanted items. We check in this net a little differently than most other nets because it is about having a conversation. And we check in with our name, our call sign, our name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. You might ask, why none of the above? Well, because none of the above tells us who's having part of the conversation, who's listening to the conversation, and therefore how to tailor the conversation. You can't have a sensible conversation if you're talking past each other. So it's only fair to check in if you're listening. Just don't sandbag. It would be preferable if you did. And I just saw a sick goal behind his back. Devil's now losing 3-2 instead of 3-1. Okay. All right. Moving right along. One other point about the net is that we have a closed Yahoo group. You wouldn't get spam on that group because it's closed. And the closed Yahoo group is Comtech Group. Charlie Oscar Mike Tango Echo Charlie Hotel Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa. Comtech Group is the name of the group. And if you, for any reason, can't find it or are not getting approved, please email me at w2ttd@arrl.net. I'll be happy to accommodate you and get you in. Alrighty, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey, please call K2BAR.
Oh, K2BAR, WA2ISC, Bob, and comment.
Alrighty, let's go to November's. Okay, let's try Kilo.
Kilo 2 Lima Alpha X-ray, John, none of the above.
Thank you, Bob. Any other kilos?
K2BAR.
X-ray, John, none of the above. Above. Kilo 2 Lima Alpha X-ray, John, none of the above.
This is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta, Bob in Park Ridge, no traffic.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Very good. Is there anybody else?
Kilo. Good evening. K2BAR, this is K2MOB. No comment.
Got you, K2MOB. Any other stations?
This is Whiskey 2, November Zulu. Sorry I'm late checking on my W.
K2BAR, this is Alpha Lima Zero Yankee. Ali from Wayne, I have one question about transformers.
Okay, Ali, I got your question noted. Anybody else want to check into that?
W2TK, Frank Montville.
Good evening, Frank. All right. Got you. What are your intentions, Frank?
This is Charlie Edward Northbound.
Got you. KD2, JDC, got you, Edward. Let's do this in order. Frank, what are your intentions?
No, I'm just sandbagging.
Fine. Okay. And KD2, JDC. Alrighty, any other stations checking into the net?
KD2OBB, Kilo Delta 2, Oscar Bravo, Bravo. Jason and Quantic, and I have an antenna question.
Okay, we got transformers, we got antennas. Got you, Jason. Anybody else?
This is N2VZX, Charlie and Garfield, none of the above.
Comment, K2BAR.
Oh, K2BAR, WA2ISC, Well, I just built a high pot tester using parts of a microwave oven. Not something for a novice to mess with, though, because with 2 kilovolts, that could really end your day. Over.
Okay, so why don't you describe what a high pot tester is?
Okay, basically it produces a high voltage DC to apply across a something you want to test, like the PIV voltage on a diode. The device has a milliammeter to monitor how much current you're drawing as well as the voltmeter. So like, you just slowly increase the voltage. The transformer is fed by a variac, so it varies from 0 all the way to 2 kV. And just slowly increase it so you start to notice a little bit of current draw, then you back off and you know what the voltage is. That the diode started to conduct at, and that's your maximum PIV. Then, of course, good engineering practice is you derate it some to make sure it doesn't fail the real circuit. Also, if you want to be sure that what you think is a power transformer can actually isolate the power line, you can use that to make sure it doesn't arc over.
Well, very nice, Bob. Very nice. So it's one of those Dr. Frankenstein setups where, you know, you dim the lights and watch things glow or go bang.
Oh, something like that. So I've used a small pilot light bulb as a kind of fuse, so if the diode or whatever suddenly goes short, it'll pop that instead of burning the house down. Also, it's packaged in a metal box, so it's only one terminal, like a banana jack type terminal that's got a lot of insulation around it. Of course, one must remember to never go near that terminal if there's any voltage on, so you got to remember to always turn the device off and wait for the voltage to go to zero before you start touching it, because, well, it's enough to kill you if you don't.
Very nice. Well, diode testing and dielectric testing, very, very fun things to do. Alrighty. Anybody have any questions for Bob regarding his iPod tester? Alrighty. Well, thank you, Bob. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it for right now. I didn't see you at the kit night. A whole bunch of other people were there, but...
Yeah, it's a function of available transportation. And first Tuesdays of the month, I'm generally not going to be able to make it down there, unfortunately. Unless my wife has a meeting cancellation, but normally she has to be in Fairfield. And generally, I will be in Fairfield at that point, in which case I'll probably be over at the Red Cross. We're going to have a preparedness technology night once a month, probably on the first Tuesday of the month, it looks like, at the Red Cross over in Fairfield. And sort of like kit night, but very focused on things that you might want to have built or related to preparedness. So portable kits and go kits and, you know, other little doodads. We don't have a whole lot of rules, but since the facility and the time was there, we thought we'd put it to good work. And we'll be formalizing that as part of an ARC squared, that's the Amateur Radio Club, pardon me, the American Red Cross Amateur Radio Club has ARC squared label in future weeks. You'll hear about that some more. Alrighty. Anything else, Bob?
Oh, K2BAR, WA2YC, I think that's it for now, so I'll be clear.
Okay, very good. Ali, AL0Y, you had a question, K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is AL0Y. Thanks, Gordon. All right, just before I ask the question, I just want to remind everybody, I'm still a beginner when it comes to electronic circuits and... Basic electronics, I should say. So, I have a question about transformers, whether step up or step down. I cannot understand the math when it comes to the ratio between the primary and the secondary transformers. However, is there a minimum number of turns for each coil so it kind of doesn't cause a short circuit, like, for each side, or, like, to pretty much build the impedance, no, sorry, the resistance on each side of the transformer, I'm assuming there would be a minimum number of turns or winds for each coil. Am I correct?
That's a really good question. So, number one, you are correct when you use the word impedance instead of resistance. But impedance has a resistive component. I'll remind you of that, so that's good. And yeah, there are, and I'm not sure what they are. The whole point of that is to have that ratio, which I think you've got, and then make sure that you have enough impedance in the line so that you don't short out the winding essentially across the source, voltage source. But I honestly don't know off the top of my head. That's a really, really good question. Does anybody else know on the repeat here? That's a wonderful question.
WA2IC, yeah, I've had experience in that issue with this. One of the things is that you're talking about power transformers, the metal core can only take so much magnetization and go beyond that, then it becomes like an air core, and the current draw, the inductance goes way down, and you end up sucking a lot of current, so you don't want to do that. As a rough rule of thumb, like, you take the cross-sectional area of the center of the core and in square inches, and then divide that by 800, and then that gives you a rough idea how many primary turns you need for 120 volts and 60 hertz wells.
Okay, so the cross-sectional area divided by 100, or did you say multiply by 100, would give you the number of turns you need on the primary?
Divide by 800, that's 800, and yes, you divide it. So a larger core means that you need less turns to be able to accommodate 120 volts at 60 hertz, over.
Okay, and the cross-sectional area in what unit?
Square inches. Basically, with like with an EI type transformer, like you measure the height of the stack, and then the width of one of the E's is the middle prong of the middle of the E, and that's your cross sectional area.
Okay, so I'm a little confused. So the height times, basically, it's either usually a rectangle or a square or something. You know, it might even be nominally a circle, but so the cross section of one loop through free space, or in this case through iron space.
That's essentially it.
So if I have a little tiny transformer with 110 winding on one side, let's say its cross-sectional area is only maybe, you know, a half inch or 2 square inches, let's say, at the most. 2 divided by 800 will be a fraction of an inch. So I'm trying to understand how that works for turns.
Okay, if the cross-sectional area is 2 square inches, then that would be 400 turns. If the cross-sectional area is, like, say, half a square inch, then it would be 1,600 turns. Over.
So 800 is in the numerator. I understood you to say it was in the denominator.
Maybe I misspoke, but the smaller the core, the more turns you need, and basically one square inch is 800 turns. The numbers you need to know.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was having a real tough time with. It's like, this is going to be a fraction of a turn, so I'm having trouble understanding that. So, okay, so your rule of 800 is at 110 at 60 hertz AC. You'll need 800 turns for one square inch of cross section. Got it. So, and then of course you have a similar number of the requisite number of turns for the secondary, depending on what voltage you're looking to have. Okay, so Ali, does that answer your question?
Affirmative. Thanks, Bob, for the information, and thanks, Gordon, actually, as well. That actually does make sense now. In a little while, best of us.
What does Rush Limbaugh say when he wants to clarify what politicians say? He uses a disgruntificator or something. It's a made-up machine. I think I brought out the disgruntificator for Bob. But thank you, Bob. That's really useful information. I just had to make sure that the right numbers were where they needed to be. And right out of the gate, I was going, oh, this is backwards. It's got to be backwards. So I'm glad we settled that. That's good. Thank you.
Okay, Gordon. And as you would imagine, if the line frequency was higher, then you would need less turns on your primary. That's basically the big selling point of switching power supply transformers over.
Yes, good point. So higher frequency, you know, fewer turns, that makes perfect sense. And to the extent that you need to figure that out, you can probably find a reference online. Very nice. Very nice. Anybody else have anything to add to this topic? Okay, one other thing I will point out, depending on the amount of current you're trying to pull and what voltages are involved, you need to make sure you have adequate insulation on the windings. And insulating the windings from the core. The badass thing people do sometimes is they'll wrap, you know, even insulated wire over a core without having an under wrap. And what happens is it becomes a friction point around the edges. Pretty soon now you've got a couple of turns. One or more turns have shorted to the core, and now the core is hot, physically, electrically hot. And just not good. Because typically it's also grounded. Bad things happen to your transformer and to your whole power supply at that point. The other thing is, like Bob said, use some form of fusing, whether it's a pilot lamp or an actual fuse. Something that will reliably blow and protect you and keep the house from burning down. A wise decision. Does that help you, Ollie?
Affirmative, Gordon. Yes, thank you very much. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, somewhere I remember that rule of 800. I've forgotten that. So, Bob, thank you. That was good to have, we old people get a mental refresh every so often. All righty. Our next question is from Jason. Was it Jason? Yes, Jason. KD2OBB. Jason, what town are you in, by the way? And then state your question.
K2BAR, this is KD2OBB. It's Jason, I'm in Pequannock, New Jersey, Morris County. Am I making a repeater okay?
You're just about full quieting.
Great, thank you. Being a new ham, I have a much simpler question than the previous. I'm going to be setting up a base station antenna here in my house, and I want to optimize my RX and TX capabilities, and I wanted to know if I'd be better off putting up a dual band antenna that was 10 foot tall as opposed to one that is 5.5 feet tall, being that the overall height
the top of the antenna would be 30 feet in both situations.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. So your antenna height is going to be about 30 feet. It's going to be on a mast? It's going to be on a mast on a tower? What's it going to be on?
It's going to be on a mast with some standoff brackets off of a dormer on the back of my house.
Okay. So, I have to be careful here because I am, you know, if I need another antenna, I just put another one up somewhere on my little ridiculously small lot, would run yet another cable outside or repurpose the cable that already is run outside. So, clearly, if they're both going to be dual band antennas, whether it's a 5 foot one or a 10 foot one, the real question is the reliability of the antenna over time, and of course their gain, assuming that they're measured roughly about the same way, and of course their power handling capabilities. If you want to run higher power, you might find one will claim to run, will support, let's say, 300 watts, or one will only claim to run 150 watts. If in your wildest imagination, the higher gain antenna is the one that only handles 150 watts, and you're okay with that, then overall you'll be better off because the extra antenna gain will not only benefit you on transmit, but on receive. And so that's all good. In general, the longer antennas are, for dual band antennas, are going to be more gain than the shorter ones.
Right, just so you know, I'm actually looking at some diamond fiberglass antennas. The models are the X50 and X300, and they both handle 200 watts. The gain for the X50 for 2 meters and 70 centimeters, respectively, is 4.5 and 7.2. The X300, which is the 10-foot antenna, the gain figures are 6.5 to 9.0. So, being that the overall heights of the antennas would be the same, I just wasn't sure if having the entire shorter antenna higher up off of the ground, if I'd be able to get better TX and RX as opposed to a lower overall antenna position with the larger one.
I'm trying to understand, why would your longer antenna be shorter or in height?
I wouldn't have the mast be as long. Just not sure of my first setup as far as wind and support. I just want to make sure it's safe. So that's the reason for that.
Then build the right bracket in the first place. I wouldn't. The amount of wind loading difference is not horrendously different between the two. So whatever your intended height was for one, I would go with the other. If necessary, just start thinking about how you can use, you know, a stouter mast, stouter brackets, you know, better lagging into the wall if that's what you're doing. I mean, you know, I would go that route.
All right, thank you very much. I most likely will. I appreciate the help and the advice. This is KD2OBB. Back to net control.
Okay, just one other point. The coax you use to feed it, it's very important to use as low loss of coax as you can. LMR 400 is very good, and since you're not going to be rotating it, you don't have to take any special care to make that happen. So keep that in mind.
Thanks again. Yeah, I do actually plan on using LMR 400, being that I already have it here at my QTH. Thank you, Gordon. This is KD2OBB.
Alrighty, very good. Yeah, go for the other end. Go for the more gain on the antenna, and don't sacrifice the height. You're talking about 5 feet of masting, for God's sake. Find a way.
Gordon, I think we doubled that, but I think I was mentioning the use of better quality coax. so you don't end up with attenuation that will kill you easily.
Yeah, I would agree, Bob. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, it's like RG8X would be a lot better than, say, RG58. And I think, he said he had some better stuff even yet that he's going to use. Over.
Yeah, Jason's talking about using LMR 400. That will work just fine. That'll be quite satisfactory. I use quite a bit of that around here, and then I have some hard line, and I also have some really interesting flex line that I have yet to deploy, but boy, I've measured it. I've swept it. It's just amazing. It's some Mil 117 stuff that the Navy had. It's like a 3/4-inch coax that has 4 dB of attenuation at 2.4 gigs, and it's coax. It's crazy.
Okay, Gordon, I've been using, like, the old Ethernet ThickNet stuff. Basically, it's like yellow RG8 cable. Got lots of good shielding and whatnot. It seems to work just fine. Anyway, KQBIR, WA2IC.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, good stuff. Not much of that cable around anymore, but good. If nothing else, you can find your coaxes. I have a massive black cable coming in from my interface, and then the bulkhead, from the bulkhead in the shack here. And it's a rat's nest after that, and that's what I want to go fix this year. Alrighty. Anybody else on this topic? Okay, any late check-ins or new topics?
W2TTT KP2SZ. I don't know if you got my check-in earlier.
No, I did not, Ken, but welcome. I can certainly add you. And did you have a question?
No, I was just listening. I guess the tone got put on, and I didn't have it activated on the radio, so that's why.
Okay. I was wondering if someone had turned off the tone back on. There are a couple of guys who have the codes for it besides me, and I'm disinclined to turn on the tone. I actually like it on Carrier's Coach, but I think if one of my esteemed colleagues wants to turn the tone back on, I'm not going to mess with him. But we were getting a little chirpy stuff from down south. It was kind of fun, but that's all right. No big deal. All righty. Anybody else? All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for participating in that site. We actually had some really good topics, and they were kind of interesting. I mean, stuff you don't really think about very often. But that's good. We talked about antennas, coax, and mounting, and gain, and stuff like that. We talked about transformers and how to calculate that. Thank you, Bob, for that little bit of insight, the rule of 800. We talked about, what else did we talk about? We talked about a HiPot tester. That's always exciting, isn't it, now? Alrighty. Well, anybody, 73 to everybody. We'll try to repeat it to normal amateur radio use. Have a great weekend, and our meeting is Sunday night at 7 o'clock is the gathering, and 7:30 is the meeting start. W2TTTK2BAR, signing clear.
Okay, now that the net is closed, are you still here, Gordon?
Yes, sir.
Did you get my letter?
I did, thank you very much. In fact, I saw Dave at the Red Cross on Tuesday, and mentioned to Joe that he looked at me like, oh yeah? Yeah, I said, yeah. I said, if you want to help putting it up, let me know. I'll be happy to come over and help put it up. But I already told you that. I'll be happy. I love putting up towers. It breaks my heart to take them down, but I love putting them up, and I love doing stuff on them, so it's fine.
Yeah, I'm still looking for the last two sections. probably not going to happen until I get back from overseas, which is, I don't know, July, August, or something like that.
So your current tower is what, Rhone 20?